Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the King James Version of the Bible. And it is Happy Wednesday, my brothers and sisters. Monday is my other program. Anyway, as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited. As you can see, I misidentified the day, because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Matthew. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew the apostle. It gives us a scenario of Jesus' life as prescribed by one of his 12 apostles. And many new concepts are revealed in the 28 chapters of this manuscript. And theologians agree that Matthew's version of events are written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning traditions. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Isaiah the prophet, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Now, the promise is that if you are a servant of the Lord, no weapon formed shall prevail against you. God said through King David, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 165. Now, again, the promise is that you will have great peace if you love and do what the law of God says. God said through Moses, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations, as taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And again, the promise is, you want to be set on high? You want to be number one with God? You got to diligently keep his commandments. Now, the question is again for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, and we're going to look. Matthew has 28 chapters written in it, and I have written 78 instructions for the series of lessons. Now we're going to look at, and please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16. That's Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 6 through 12. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 through 12. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text, beware of the teachings of men's doctrines. Okay, my brothers and sisters, beware of the teachings of men's doctrines. And this is what Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 through 12 says about that. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned, his apostles, among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived of that, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why have ye reasoned among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet remember or understand the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it then that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That is what Jesus was saying. It is their teachings. It is their traditions. It is the things that they do. That's what you should be aware of. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Psalms 62, verse 8 through 12. Psalms 62, verse 8 through 12. And we're going to see how this compares and agrees with what David told Israel about the same. David said, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And we know that Selah means pause for a minute and think about it and consider it. Verse 9 says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are together lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his works. So what the psalmist is saying, that you need to be aware that worldliness exists in your experience you having this side of eternity. But it is the godliness that is going to get you what you are seeking, which should be the salvation of God. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that man, unlearned in the ways of God, can mislead you on purpose or otherwise. Rely on God. That is the key. So there are some that will tell you something, and then it's because of their ignorance that they don't realize that they're misleading you or misguiding you. But that is the instruction I want you to take from this particular point. And now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to look at instruction number 42, and we're going to go back to the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at chapter 16, verse 13 through 20 is what I'm going to read. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. And I want you to get that. And when we come back from the break, then we will continue.
The pain of potential. It's not painful to not be what I don't have the potential to be. But what is painful is to know that I have the potential to be loyal enough to die for you, but I don't, but I'm not ready for it. And the Lord told me if I preached this message, I would speak directly to somebody who all your life they talked about how gifted you were and how talented you were and how much potential you had, and yet you've never been able to get it together. You got the raw skills to be great. You got the skills to be an entrepreneur. You have the skills to be a great preacher. You have the skills to be a great wife. You have the skill to be a great husband. But all of that talent put together has not gotten you there. And now you're bitter. Not because the devil has tormented you. You are bitter because your potentials have given you pain. Because you say, by now, I should be further than this. By now, I should be better than this. By now, I thought I would have my degree. By now, I thought I would be married. By now, I thought I would own my own place. And you do have the potential.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the lesson. We're in Matthew. I told you to turn your Bibles to chapter 16, verse 13 through 20, and this is what we're going to, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Who is Jesus Christ? And that is so significant, more especially, who is Jesus Christ in your life? And this is what Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20 says about that. And Jesus is talking to his apostles. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My brothers and sisters, you have to realize that it's the inside and not the outside that's going to give you the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Verse 18 says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of theologians misinterpret what this is saying, because my interpretation is God is talking to me. And since I said and confessed that he is the Son of God, then he's telling me that upon me, he's going to build his church. I'm his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, verse 19 says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shall bind, and whatsoever thou shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, again, this is so significant, because what he is saying is that, and it's my interpretation, that the keys of heaven I now have because I have the Lord in me. So what I bind in the Lord is going to be a positive. What I loose from the Lord is going to be a negative, and that is worldliness. Now, verse 20 concludes and says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he is Jesus the Christ. That was critical because Jesus, it was not his time to be made known yet, and that is why he told them that. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And this is what the prophet said to Israel concerning who is the Messiah going to be. And this is what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know that child as Jesus Christ the Messiah. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God has set his son, given him power on earth and in heaven over all flesh to give to as many as he will eternal life. And the eternal life is to know God, to know Jesus Christ, his son, whom he has sent, and to know and to receive the Holy Ghost. That is key, my brothers and sisters, and I gave you a little extra on what Isaiah prophesied, but that is what Isaiah was prophesying as I interpreted. Now let's go to, this is what I want you to understand spiritually, what this should mean to us in our lives. Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament, the prophet Moses spoke of. He is the creator of mankind and of all things John spoke of. Remember, John chapter 1 said that he is the Word, and in the beginning was that Word, and all things were made by him, and nothing that was made was not made by him. That is certification for us Christians who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's who he is, the Son of God, to bring salvation to the world. Now we're going to go back. We're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to do another instruction out of chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27 is what we're going to look at. And as I read the text to you, please keep this in mind as I read the text. This is the instruction I want you to get from it. If any man follow Jesus, listen, my brothers and sisters, if any man follows Jesus, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? If any man follow Jesus, any man, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. And this is what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27 about that. Jesus said, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. And what I'm going to add to that is an interpretation, my brothers and sisters. This is what it means to me in verse 25. For whosoever will save his life spiritually, well, whoever should save his life physically shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life spiritually for my sake shall save it. That's the key. Now, verse 26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Again, Jesus is telling his disciples how critical this is, denying yourself and picking up your cross and following Jesus. That if you don't do that, you can gain the whole world and still be lost. Verse 27, to conclude the thought, it says, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. My brothers and sisters, you must realize that the end of our lives is the end of that world for us. And at the end of our time, if we're not doing what, if we haven't denied ourselves and picked up our cross and followed Jesus, our works will be rewarded accordingly. So that means if you don't do it, you lose. Now, what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement and see what the Old Testament says about this, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. And this is what God said. If you don't follow me, Israel, this is your problem. Remember, if any man follows Jesus, he must deny himself, take up his cross. This is what God told Israel in the Old Testament, which is much more involved than what we have today. This is what God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children, up unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This is critical. God's going to hold Israel accountable, and likewise, he's going to hold us accountable too, my brothers and sisters. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, in order to be successful with God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We must follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, in order to be successful with God. That's what I want you to get and draw from this instruction. Now, before we go to the next instruction, we're going to take a commercial break.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Today's word is path. I'm not a great hiker, but where we live in North Carolina, there are some hiking trails, and sometimes I get on one of those trails and I go walk for a while. One thing I'm very thankful for is the path, the trail. And the reason for that is we're in the hills and we're in the woods, and to be honest with you, it'd be very easy for me to get lost. But when I follow the path, it reminds me that someone has already been there before me and somebody knows the way. Amen. It's kind of a nice thing to be on a path knowing that there are other people that have gone on the journey before you, and they not only have gone on that journey, but they've succeeded on it and they know how to get there. And then if you just follow the path that other people have taken, there's a good shot that you're going to arrive where you want to go. A life with no paths may be a lot of fun. It may be a kind of adventurous at times, but to be honest with you, when you're on a path, it's kind of like this is a sure way, a certain way for me to get to where I want to go. And here's what I know. The path is there because someone has done it before me. I'm just following along. I'm just coming behind them and drafting behind them. And I'm going to get to where I am because someone else did it first. So I'm grateful for that person, grateful for the path. Glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's do it again. We're on instruction number 44. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 20. Matthew chapter 17. Turn your Bibles with me or your Bible sources to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. And this is the consideration I'm giving you. This is the instruction from the verse that I'm going to read. Unbelief is the cause for unaccomplishment. Unbelief in God. That's what we're talking about. And it works worldly too, my brothers and sisters. But we're talking about godliness. We're talking about spirituality. So it's unbelief is the cause for unaccomplishment spiritually. You got to believe to achieve. Now, this is what Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, and it's Jesus speaking. Jesus tells his disciples, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. My brothers and sisters out there, faith is the key to success, period. Now, let's understand that you may have a physical handicap. So we're talking spiritual. Faith with God will produce wonders for you spiritually, and that's the key. And now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 9. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. And this is what the prophet said to Israel concerning the same. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria, Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. That's the key. That's what it is, what Isaiah is telling Israel. And you could find it throughout Isaiah, throughout Ezekiel, Jeremiah. You could go to the minor prophets, all of them. What they're saying is without the belief, you will not accomplish what has been said. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that it is impossible to please God without faith. That means believe. If you don't believe, you can't achieve with God. That's the spiritual reality of faith. It is impossible to please God without it. So that's the instruction I want you to take, or the lesson from this instruction I want you to get. Now we're going to go to instruction number 45. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 17. I have another instruction out of Matthew 17. We're going to be looking at verse 24 through 27. And this is the instruction I want you to take before I read the text. This is what I want you to keep in mind. The children of God are free from worldliness. That is, again, as critical as it can get, my brothers and sisters, very significant. The children of God are free from worldliness. And that doesn't mean you're not subjected to the flesh. You know there's a war going on in your members, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But if you want to overcome what is besetting you, be free from it, then this is what you must respond to. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 through 27, this is what it says. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doeth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what sayest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take customs or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, that is right. Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give unto them for me and thee. Now, of course, this is a parable, because sometimes I get somewhat confused that Jesus had more than just Peter to pay for. If He was paying just for himself and Peter. What about the rest? But that's beside the point. This is a parable, and what it's identifying is that the children of God are free from worldliness. Just like the example he gave, that the children of those who are in high places, they have exemption. Now, we know that that's not true in a democracy, but over in other foreign countries, in autocracies and all those other ruling people that hold true to their prowess over the folks that's under them, they are giving their children and those who are favorable to them a pass at what they're required to do. Now what we're going to do is go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to that was kind of hard for me to get all that out. But anyway, well, let's make a connection and see what Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 through 3 says about this, comparing and agreeing that the children of God are free from worldliness. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 through 3 says. It says, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." So God is telling Israel that if you're going to be free, if you're going to receive what he's going to give you, this is what you have to adhere to and refrain from. And that was the worldliness that was in what the Israelites were doing at that time. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when you become a child of God through baptism, your worldliness will give way to your godliness, and that is your freedom. You are not subjected exclusively to worldly things. Now, that's significant, my brothers and sisters, so much so, I'm going to reread it, that when you become a child of God through baptism, that's the prerequisite. You must have be born again. Your worldliness will give way to your godliness. That's when you have prowess over your worldliness. And that is your freedom. That's the freedom that God has given you to set you free from worldliness. And you are not subjected exclusively to worldly things, meaning we're flesh and blood. So we know we got to respond to the flesh. A minute ago I mentioned there's a war between the flesh and a war between the spirit. And we know these two are at objection one to another. But that's what I want you to take from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to the book of Matthew. And now we're going to go to chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 in chapter 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Who is the greatest in heaven? Now, the reason I'm going from verses 1 through 10 is because I think that we need to hear all of the verses pertaining to this parable that Jesus has given about who is the greatest in heaven. So this is what chapter 18, verse 1 through 10 says. And what I think that I'm going to do is just give you the connecting Old Testament compliment that you can write down and be prepared, and we'll do that after the break. But this is what the Old Testament compliment, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 through 25. That's going to be the complementary that's going to give us a comparison and an agreement with who is the greatest in heaven. Now let's go to our break.
My expectation is that as I walk with God and as I make decisions to follow him and I make decisions to eliminate certain things from my life that are causing me to drain energy and focus that could be applied toward my purpose, that this gap behind me will get bigger and the gap in front of me will get smaller. But guess what God does? When you take a step, when you make a move, when I step, you step. Watch this. God moves too. You're going to love this gold digger. See, in my mind, the goal was, stay right there, that this gap goes away. Here's what God knows. If you think that you have arrived, arrogance is sure to follow. So what God is going to do, I need to do this, this is version 2.0. God is going to make sure that as you grow, when I step, you step. The gap stays. So you look back and you say, oh, look, I'm moving forward. But you look forward and it doesn't feel like you've gone anywhere. But I want to let you know, you're right where you need to be. See, you need grace for both gaps. Here it is. The same grace that created this gap between where I was and where I am is the grace I need. I step, you step. To keep moving forward. So God says to everyone who's in the middle of something right now, in the middle of change, in the middle of process, in the middle of becoming, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the fire, you step by step. Keep stepping. Step. Stay in the middle. Step. Stay in faith. Step. Stay in courage. Step. Stay blessed. Stay in my hand. Stay in the storm. I'm with you in the fire. God is in the middle.
When I see. Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, here we go with instruction number 46. Who is the greatest in heaven? And this is what Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 18. Verse 1 through 10, and this is what it says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now this is so significant, my brothers, I want to point it out. Jesus says, except ye be converted. That is your baptism. Verse 4 says, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, what we are listening to in this parable is about the innocency of youth and how that is the way to God's glory, is through innocence. And those who are not innocent, they, thank God for repentance, they need to repent, because if not, they should have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown in the depths of the sea. Now, this is Jesus continuing. Verse 7 says, Woe unto the world because of offenses. But it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to the man by whom the offenses cometh. Now, this again is very significant, my brothers and sisters. If we did not need God, we would not have him. And the reason we need God is because of the offenses that are lodged against us, sin besetting us. That's why we need God. If there were not for sin, we would not need God. So again, Jesus is saying, woe to the world because of offenses, because the world is going to be lost. Verse 8 says, Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life whole and maimed rather than entering with two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And he continues the woe. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two to be cast into the fires of hell. And another woe, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That is so, again, significant. I've been using that word quite a bit tonight, that Jesus came to save the lost. We are all in that category, my brothers and sisters. All right, now let's go to the Old Testament complement and see how Isaiah chapter 45, I mentioned it to you earlier, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 through 25, how it compares and agrees with what we just said. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 through 25. Who is the greatest in heaven? This is what Isaiah says. Look unto me and be ye saved. God is the greatest in heaven. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every mouth shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are fenced against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, of course, that's Old Testament language, and what it's telling Israel that God is the greatest in heaven. And if anyone else tell you that they're greater than God or they're the greatest, then they are to be refused. And that is what the tie-in is with that. Now, we're going to go. This is what I want you to understand from the reading of this instruction. This is what it should mean spiritually in our lives, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are number one in the sight of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they are number one in sight of God. That's the instruction I want you to receive from this lesson. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 18. We have another instruction to take from Matthew 18, and we're going to look at verse 14, just one verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, and what I want you to pay attention to, or this is the instruction that I want to give you. Jesus came to save the lost. We just identified that as we read in the instruction 46, but this is the instruction that Jesus came to save the lost, and that verse 14 is 18 verse 14. This is what it says. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And we know that we just read that for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That is key. And now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11 connects that dot. This is what Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11 says about that to the Israelites. The prophet is saying, God speaking through the prophet to Israel, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God is telling Israel that he is the one that saves. And now what we're going to do is add more substantiation to that. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21, and we're going to read again what Isaiah prophesied again in verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 45. And it says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them that take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God besides me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Again, the prophet is telling Israel that the only Savior at that time for them was God. And we're going to conclude the thought. Isaiah, again, he's going to go in chapter 60, verse 16, and this is what Isaiah says about that again. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. What I was trying to do is give you a connection on Jesus came to save the lost, and he was sent by God. But it's God in Jesus that is doing the saving. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Because of the sin and fall of Adam and Eve, we are all lost from their inheritance to us. So we all need Jesus to be saved. That is the key. Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told them that they would surely die. And that death takes on two perspectives, a physical perspective and a spiritual perspective. God is not saving the physical perspective, the flesh. God is saving the spiritual perspective, the spirit, and he's saving that through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, now before we go to the next instruction, let us go to a commercial break.
How could a man hit a target he could not see? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now, I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all. And I make this statement 40 times in my book that you can get everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go to instruction number 48. Back to Matthew chapter 18, we're going to take another instruction out of Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verse 15 through 35, and this is going to be lengthy, but it is so significant because it is Jesus explaining to his disciples the instruction that I'm getting ready to pose to you. You must forgive your brother his trespasses against you. My brothers and sisters, critical again, you must forgive your brother his trespasses against you. And this is what Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 35 says about that. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now you must realize this, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about Christians to Christians, okay? Almost exclusively. And even there, you have to make sure that the Christian is following Jesus Christ, that he's not just a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I'll read that again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. This can only work, my brothers and sisters, if we're talking about those who are of like precious faith and who are responding to the laws of Christ. And this is what verse 17 says. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican. Now again, if this man is our person, if it's not a Christian person, this does not apply. It can apply, but you have to be very careful how you apply it. And this is what verse 17 says. And if he shall neglect, verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We talked about that briefly earlier, and so what this is telling us is that because of our faith in Christ, and each having that faith, what we bind together in Jesus is going to be bound, and what we loose or let go earthly is going to be lost. And again, I say unto you, verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And that, again, is significant to understand what this parable is saying, because we'll have a tendency to ask for things that are not required. And that's the key. If we're asking for worldliness, we're not going to necessarily get that from requesting it from the Lord. We're talking about spirituality, more especially the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about wisdom, knowledge, and faith. We're talking about love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering. Those attributes, mercy, grace, glory, we're talking about those type of attributes as opposed to wealth and riches and possessions and physical health even, for that matter. We're talking about spiritual things. This is where this is focused. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are to gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that is if we are converted, as we talked about earlier, we are born again Christians with the indwelling, if you will. That applies. If we are not, it does not apply. That's why you have to test the spirit to make sure that who you are dealing with is as performing the word of God as you are. Now, verse 21 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That, again, is significant. If we're talking about those of us who are alike precious faith, we do not have to worry about seven times 70. That's not going to happen. We're not going to do that to one another because that is not in the way that we serve Jesus Christ and God. Now, this is the parable that Jesus gives with that. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. Now, that's significant that God will do this. He knows your heart, so he will give you that relief. But listen to the rest of the parable. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and called and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked person, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. And that is talking about those who are like precious faith. That is key. And we are today having ourselves expand upon that. Even those who are of not precious faith, we are forgiving them. That is a good practice. But what this is telling us is that those who are of like precious faith is the one that it is focused and concerned with. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. We're going to go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2 and 7, and this is what Leviticus is saying to Israel. This is the law, and this is what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor, and in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, and verse 7 completes the thought, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he has done in trespassing therein. What this is saying again, the Israelites that are following God's law, if they respond accordingly, there is going to be not only repentance, there's going to be forgiveness of trespasses. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean we must be very careful of this commandment, because predators will take advantage of you. My brothers and sisters, that is so significant. You must make sure that you are walking the light. You're walking in the commandments of the Lord. For Solomon said it best, the man whose ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In that security, you know that you can comply with what this instruction is saying. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21 says, the man that is good in the sight of God, God gives him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God gives him love, joy, and peace. But to the sinner, he gives sore travail, vexation of the spirit, tribulations and trauma and anxiety gathered up and heaped up, so he can give to the man that is good before God. What that is telling us, my brothers and sisters, that if you're seeing this transpiring and whoever is confronting you, you know that they're not godly. And those are the ones you want to avoid. And so that is the instruction that I'm trying to share with you with that. And this now is the completion of the lesson for this evening. And we are about to sign off. The host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.